And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Hope and Chris finish the last episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Luckily, dependable Dave Filoni and crew create Rebels with new characters, new places, and new adventures, thus keeping hope alive for this podcast. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars Rebels. In this episode, the Ghost crew teams up with Hondo and Naka and Az Morgan for a weapon score. There will be Hondo and Naka makes his return! And this is also kind of a Zeb episode, which is something that I've been wanting all season because I love Zeb, so hooray! We're talking about We're talking about the episode that no one can pronounce this week. How you doing, Chris?
Winkachu.
What do you call a flirting Pikachu?
He's a Winkachu.
He's a Winkachu.
Ho, 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 ho.
A Cthulhu job.
Yeah.
So, Winkachu. And so, I think even in Rebels Recon, if I remember correctly, like, Andy Gutierrez was like, it's the when, let's just get on to the episode. Like, if I remember correctly, like, she purposely missed it too, so.
Yeah, it's weird. It looks like it was supposed to, like, say something or something, but it doesn't seem to.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I said it phonetically and was hoping it would sound something. And it's sort of spelled, the end of it is spelled a lot like Cthulhu, but.
I think it's the middle H that throws me off.
The H-T-H-U is the end of Cthulhu.
Yeah, so, oh. Winkachu. Because it's Winkachu, the Winkachu job. But it's always, there's something about, like, when I read it, like, it does not process correctly in my brain. Like, there's an extra letter that shouldn't be in there, and it makes my brain shut down halfway through.
It's just them being jerks with their Star Wars name. That's all.
It's like when you say the special code to Bucky Barnes and his brain shuts down and he becomes the Winter Soldier. That damn H in the middle of this word shuts down my brain and I now will go out and murder people.
I think it's been established ever since the beginning that Star Wars is messing with us with all the names. With, you know.
There's a character in Alphabet Squadron named Erica, but instead of E-R-I-C-A, it's Y-R-I-C-A. And it's Erica, not Erica.
Well, it's sort of like a lot of modern name spellings.
that's a
maybe
very.
There's a Star Wars influence on that. Somebody needs to do an anthropological paper about that and get some info going on that.
Well, did you have a good day today?
I did. I had a decent 19 hours since the last time we spoke.
I had an up and down day. I thought that my insurance had made a mistake, and so that I spent like an hour and a half on the phone with the insurance, and I actually
wasting someone's time.
And then I and I chewed out somebody too, and then about an hour afterwards, it dawned on me that, oh yeah, back in November I did do this thing, and I chewed out a guy for no reason, and I wasted an hour and a half of my day.
I almost did that at the bank last time. I was going off an old receipt on in my mind what I thought I had in my bank account, and then I got there and I took some money out for rent, and I'm walking away and I'm like, wait, I should have more money than this. And so I went in, I'm like, I think somebody, I'm getting ready to chew someone out, and then finally I'm like, okay, were there any withdrawals? And then they start, and I'm like, oh yeah, that was me. Sorry. I am bad at math.
But I feel so bad because, like, they got, like the healthcare marketplace involved, too. And so, like, now I have, like, this thing where I have to wait to hear them call back for them to reinstate this insurance that I did actually cancel, but I forgot I had canceled. And I was like, I don't have insurance. And it was the panic mode of like, oh my God, I don't have insurance. But I forgot that I had canceled it. Like,
then you realized, oh my God, am I calling myself on the phone?
Yeah. And so it was a whole ordeal. And I feel bad for like the poor guy I chewed out.
Yeah, well, that's just their day at work, I'm sure.
I always make it a point that no matter how upset I get at the situation, I always stop and say, it is not your fault. I'm upset at the situation. I'm sorry for
I'm one of those. I use that language, too. I'm one of those people, too. I'm like, I'm with you, man. I'm a worker, too.
Yeah, like
it's not you. Can you transfer me to some asshole, please?
Yeah, like I always make a point of like if I start like getting like heated or I get start getting snippy, I always stop and I go, and I know it's not your fault. I'm sorry for taking this out at you. I'm frustrated at the situation. You are a lovely person. I always tell them that. I'm like, you are lovely and you're doing a great job. I'm just mad at the situation. I'm sorry for taking
it out. I don't go that far unless
it
depends on whether I've generally sussed whether they're a lovely person, because sometimes they're not, but usually they are kind of nice.
Usually they
people.
Are, and that's the thing. Like, they have to put up with assholes so much that, yeah. Like, I it's not that person's fault that, like, this situation has happened. And so
I don't want to be on record saying they're a lovely person because they were nice on the phone and then find out that they have a, you know, a freezer full of bodies, you know.
They're secretly Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I don't want to judge them to their soul, but, I will acknowledge when they've been nice to me on the phone, you know, in the context of our interaction, they've been perfectly lovely, but they may be a serial killer.
No one steal this because, like, I had to tell them my address, and for all I know, they could be writing it down to come murder me.
Well, there's that, too, yeah.
I mean, that's a good idea.
And but you also don't want to let on. If you suss out that they're a serial killer, that you know, because yeah, they do. They have your personal information.
Yeah, that would be a totally insane like.
Yeah, that would be
serial
kind of
killer
a job
like
for
story.
A serial killer, huh?
The telemarketer killer.
Yeah, right. Everybody that yells at them, you got a big pool to choose from, and you know all their personal information. So there you go. Be nice to your telemarketers, I guess. I'll never be nice to telemarketers, you know.
Be nice to the phone people on, like, yeah, the, who are just doing their jobs.
The support people, yeah.
Yeah, they're just doing their jobs.
Telemarketers aren't support people. They're not even human. They're not even human.
All right. Are you ready to talk about the Cthulhu job?
Was Cthulhu job? Yes, I am.
Yeah, the fucking the Cthulhu.
Yeah, Yoda was once telling me about a Wenkathu job that he got once, but we won't go into that on this family-friendly show.
That's the funniest joke you've ever said, ever. This family-friendly fucking...
Yeah, right.
What the hell? All right, you ready?
I am ready.
Oh, I spit on my computer when I
laughed. Yeah!
Like, right perfect. When I made that, like, kind of laughy sound, we wiped down the screen. There we go.
A bad computer.
Actually, let me ask. Did you like the episode before we get into this so people know what they're getting into?
I did. I'm not on fire about this episode, but it was a fun episode.
And that was the thing. Like, this was one of those episodes that, like, I've seen once because on the surface, like, I didn't like it. I'm not a big fan of As Morgan in general. I think he's gross, but he's supposed to be gross. Like, that is his character. That's his character. But I found myself, as I was watching this, I really enjoyed this episode a lot. And... I'll talk about this more, but, like, it reminded me a lot of Fight or Flight in season one, which was the first Ezra and Zeb episode. But it's, like, Fight or Flight at different points of their lives. You know, like, they're at a different stage, and it has a lot of that same feeling. And part of the reason why I love Fight or Flight is it's just fun. It's a fun episode. And once I, like, would, like, put As Morgan to a side, I just stepped back and was like, this is a fun episode. I'm laughing at Hondo. I'm laughing at the adventure, Ezra's being silly. I just stepped back and I was like, this is really fun. There's nothing deep going on, but this is just fun.
Well, you know how we talk about how when we're on our, this is, you know, Clone Wars, we got to a point with me where I didn't know what was coming next because I'd only seen like a show here or there in the last few seasons. But that, you know, we're both watching this for the second time, and how we talk about how like a lot of times stuff that we didn't like at first, now that we have the whole context, we like it a lot better. I think that works in the other way a little bit too, whereas I know there's like this is where we're starting to get to the point in the grand scheme of the theory where a lot of the big storylines and big happenings start happening, you know, with Mandalore and with Kanan and the Jedi aspect of it. So I tend to like look forward to those episodes more. So the sort of self-contained one and done ish episodes are maybe a little less like gratifying for me. But yeah. I think the effect is works more in the positive once you've gained the whole context and then it does in the negative. But I think it's dampened a little bit, you know. I think I would have rated a show like this a little bit higher the first time through.
Yeah.
Because like, I didn't know it was coming, but now I know it's coming.
Because this isn't like unimportant. Because, like, Melch and Hondo join them in the season finale.
Joins
the rebellion because
major things that happen in this, you know, yeah. that's an element of it, you know, but that's common of a lot of the side characters. They do keep, and Hondo does keep coming back anyway, all through Clone Wars and here. So, but you know what I mean, but they don't hold as much importance as Kanan and the storylines of Kanan and Ezra and the Force and Hera and
the rebellion
and Sabine and the Mandalorians to almost the same extent. Those are like the two big stories that start you know having this ongoing build in the whole thing. But I enjoyed it. I mean,
yeah. Kinda.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean because I was looking at the episode list for the rest of the season and like what's come up so far in this, because we've dealt with like a lot of emotional stuff in the beginning of this season where we're getting over like, oh God, hey, we're pretty much getting over Twilight of the Apprentice at the beginning of the season. And then starting next week, it's just like Thrawn and Kallus drama. Then we go to Mandalore. Then we have the season finale. And then also Saw Gerrera's in there too. And like, so there's a lot of drama about to happen. So, like, when I saw that before I watched that, like, I kind of sat back and I was like, it's nice to have a fun little breather episode after you've dealt with all the trauma of Twilight of the Apprentice before you get into the drama of the rest of the season. It's kind of fun having just this, like, little fun one-off just to, like, have a chance to breathe. And mm-hmm. I remember when this mm-hmm. episode came out, because it was coming out weekly, it didn't work really well because a lot of people had time to, like, mull on it. But I feel like this would be a good episode, like, if you were binging. Like, if you had, like, drama, 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 one fun breather episode, drama, drama, drama. And so, and that's how I kind of took it. Like, I was like, this isn't anything deep, it's fun. So.
Yeah, and the last episode was kind of a less drama-oriented one, too.
Yeah, only worse.
Right, right.
Fuck this kid. Oh, I just anyway. Like reached my hoodie pocket and found like four tissues. Oh my gosh, ew. Anyway, you ready?
I'm ready.
The Wincanthu Job is the 46th episode of Star Wars Rebels, and it was released on November 26, 2016. It was written by Gary Whitta and directed by Mel Zweier. Some extra information for you. You're going to like this first one, Chris. It has to do with toilet humor. Because the planet Wincanthu has spirals that look like a poopy toilet spiraling away, this episode was originally called The Commodia Job, after like a commode. And later it was titled Pirates of the Commodia System.
So gross. So gross. Inappropriate.
This is a classy podcast. We can't have poop jokes on a classy podcast. But better taste prevailed, and the planet was then renamed Winkatu.
They should have named it Tidyball. Tidyball. T-I-D-E-B-O-L. Tidyball. Tidyball. And then they went down there to meet the Tidyball man.
They should have called it Scrubbing Boobles.
Ooh, they've already had Scrubbing Boobles living on whatever planet Bendu's on.
Oh, Adelon, yeah. But like having a planet called Scrubbing Boobles. maybe it's in the same
Scrubbing Boobles.
Maybe it's next to Winkatu. It's like you have the Commodia.
That sounds just like a great like German pop band. Scrubbing Boobles. Or a German candy. Oh, that's maybe we should eat the Scrubbing Boobles today that Dario sent us.
Anyway.
Did someone say potty humor?
Moving on.
Back to work.
The Imperial Sentry droids were inspired by the Dark Troopers from the classic video game Dark Forces. We see in this episode the return of Melch. He was one of the Ugnaughts they rescued in the season opener Steps into Shadow. He now wears Hondo's pirate symbol on his helmet. In Rebels Recon for this episode, they talked about what a joy it was to have James Hong and Jim Cummings in the same room working together. These larger-than-life characters always bring a wild card aspect to the episodes. Episodes.
You're watching the episodes via ESP. Hope just watches them in her mind.
I watch Thrawn in my mind. What are you talking about? I watch Grande in my mind. I watch Data Lion and Space Dad and Grunkle Rex and Black Metal Daddy all in my mind.
All at the same time.
Hell yeah.
Hope's mind is a dirty, dirty multitasker.
So, well, Data Lion is kind of, I guess he's sort of neutral. He's a good guy, but I wouldn't place him like full hero. So like Kanan would be like in a, like an orgy full of bad guys, and I can see Kanan just being like, yeah, this is not for me. Bye. Anyway, sorry, one last point. They all talk about, going back to Rebels Recon, they were talking about why it's important to have these kinds of episodes. The big mythological episodes with the Force are great, but it's these kind of smaller episodes that really shade in the universe. Oh my god, Yoda! I didn't even think of this! You were in Tross!
Yoda, they did. Tricked Yoda, they did.
Like, what was the movie set like? Because, like, you got to, like, you were in the scene where, with, like, Rey was talking to the Jedi. Like what was a day in the life of you being on the movie set of Tross? Because I absolutely forgot about that.
Yoda was not on movie set of Tross. Yoda got tricked.
Oh, did they only have you in the audio studios to record your audio?
No. If audio studio Yoda went into, then paid Yoda would have been. No, sneaky, sneaky Lucasfilm. Yoda on phone. Hello, Yoda. Good friend, Yoda. Mr. Yoda, so cool you are, Yoda. We want to send you Wars movies. Yes, for free, because Yoda's in them. Does Yoda want them? Yoda says, old Jedi saying, for free it is, for me it is, yes.
You know, I heard rumors that they had to go back and do, rework some of the vocals, and they had hired Baby Yoda to do your vocals.
No, ask Yoda. Yeah, ask Yoda how you want the movies, Yoda. Yoda says Blu-ray. Yoda wants the movies as Blu-ray. So, take Yoda's voice, cut out Rey, put in movie.
Hey, Yoda, okay, I was wondering where you're going with that.
Yoda's going to see his lawyer is where he's going with that.
Well, you should. That makes me wonder if they paid Kanan or Ahsoka, if they paid anybody to be
called them all on the phone, they did.
Called who, I'm sorry, on the phone?
Called them all on the phone. That way you don't have to pay. Cheap Disney has no money.
Only this kind of insider information can you only get on Jay Guys and Jedi. A day in the life of Yoda on the trip.
Wait till we get the R2 cut released. One day.
Oh, Lord. Anyway.
Hey.
You ready to get into this?
I am.
All right. Act one.
Act one.
Woo! Eat your chips. Put yourself on mute and eat some of your chips, Chris Honeywell. Chris has chips. And he's just like, I'm hungry and I put myself
on mute. That's what I'm going to do.
Do your thing. Ezra. We start off with Ezra, who has set up a brand new job working with the one, the only, Hondo Onaka! Yay, this is a Hondo episode! Woo! And the rest of the Space family, rightfully so, are not on board with this plan. But, you know, they're all just Hondo haters, you know, they just hate the Hondo and they're all wrong. Zeb is extra not happy since Hondo left them to die in the season opener, but Hondo is like, that was 7 whole episodes ago. And Chris and Hope did, like, a month and a half worth of commentaries. So, my friend, no one remembers the season opener. And already, no one is happy about this. And then Ezra hasn't even told them the extra part of his plan. It's not just Hondo that they're working with. As Morrigan is there, too. A.K.A. Scrotum Face. A.K.A. the guy who almost enslaved Hera in Season 1 and also tried to murder Hondo and Ezra in Season 2. The gross ball sack of a man is back, and he's now Hondo's partner. Not like in a marriage partner, like business partner, because marriage partner would be gross! And Hera, rightfully so, does not want to work with that scrotum sack, and she does not want that ball sack on her ship. And as Morrigan is not fond of the concussion Hera gave him in Season 1, but he points out that he still technically owns Hera. And then they missed a great opportunity where he says this, and Kanan just goes, snap his, and just, like, turns on his lightsaber. It would have been awesome if he had done that. Anyway, Hondo tries to calm everyone down while throwing out a ton of blind jokes at Kanan. He offers them something that they've been wanting for some time now. Proton bombs. They pull up a map of the planet of Winkatu, where an Imperial ship, when an Imperial cargo ship has been abandoned because it got stuck in an atmospheric storm. The pirates have the manifest, and there's a shit ton of weapons on it. Then the pirates, want the rest of the treasure for themselves, because, you know, they're pirates. They ask where Hondo and Scrotum Joe's crew is, and Hondo deflects that question so fast, and he points out that they're all really, really desperate, so why the hell not do this? And Hera is like, yeah, we are pretty desperate. All right, let's do this. They really need the bombs that bad, and it's going to have to be worth the risk. They call an AP-5, and because I forgot that he was a thing, to start helping out with the mission, and Hera puts Zeb in charge of this one, which makes Blueberry Ezra turn a little bit Blackberry, because he found this mission and he called up Hondo for this, and Ezra thinks that he should be in charge. And Hera's like, well, yeah, normally, but not when Hondo's involved. And Ezra hops off like a fussy fuss. And Kanan reminds Hera that Ezra's gonna have to learn for himself that Hondo isn't all cracked up to be. They get ready to start the mission and pull up to the Imperial cargo ship. Ezra is not happy that Zeb is in charge, but Zeb tells him to shut up and take it up with Hera when they get back. And as Morrigan is bumbling around and Hondo tries to sweet-talk him into staying behind, but as Morrigan doesn't want Hondo to get all the good treasure for himself, and they jump off the Ghost. And landing on the cargo ship, they sneak inside. And Zeb's been being a really... Oh, and Zeb is being a really, really, really good leader, and Ezra's being a little fucking shit because he's questioning Zeb's every move, and Zeb's the best. Shut up, Ezra. But as they set out into the hallways of the cargo ship, something is lurking in the dark watching them. Bum, bum, bum. You done eating your chips?
I am.
Did you finish all your chips?
No, I didn't.
What kind of
dip we still have three more. We still have two more acts, so.
What kind of dip do you have?
I have ranch dip.
Ooh.
It's like a sour cream ranch dip. Yep.
I saw the other day lobster spinach artichoke dip, and I was like, I need to learn how to make this.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. It was like one of those like nice fancy packaging things. It's like $6 for like a tiny little cup, and I was like, I'm so tempted.
If you got a hold of some lobster, it shouldn't be too hard. Artichoke dip isn't that hard.
I know. All you really have to do. Actually, I have a really nice. Now we're off topic. I have a really nice recipe for a spicy cucumber and crab salad. It's kind of like those like kani salads that you get at Japanese restaurants. Yeah. But I've taught myself how to make it. It's so good.
You could probably use crab in the artichoke too.
Yeah, instead of lobster. So anyway, what'd you think of Act One?
Well, I only have a couple notes. Ezra's back to being the teen in the episode.
I actually have a note about that later on in the show, so yeah.
And Hondo had a great line, just a well-written line. And that's like, he's like, we've got they're like, wait, you know, the Empire might come back for this stuff too. And why isn't the Empire trying to get all their stuff out of here? And Hondo's like, oh, well, we have the advantage over them because we're desperate. And he's absolutely right. It was just a great line. But that's all I really had for I don't have a lot of notes for this episode. There was not a lot. It was just more of a just sort of enjoyable caper thing to watch, you know. So there wasn't a lot to take notes about, as we'll see in the future. Although I do have some notes.
So many in this first section, almost all my notes are just like one little one-liners.
Yeah.
I love Hondo. I love that Hondo knows that they all know who he is, but so like Hondo has worked with this entire crew before. They all know Hondo, but he still has the thing of like walking on their ship just being like, it is I, Hondo Onaka. And I'm they all know that, you, bro.
That's self-promotion is a good thing. It's like that. I don't know if you're a Seinfeld.
I love it every time he does it.
It's like that Seinfeld episode where Costanza learns if you keep saying your name to people. You know, to girls, they remember your name. So, like, every time you would leave a room with a girl he liked, you would go, Costanza, as he left the room. That's what Hondo's doing, just making sure nobody forgets his name, forgets who he is.
And then
make sure everybody knows that he knows who he is.
Yeah. My other Hondo note is every time Hondo opens his mouth, I just have to resist the urge to write down how much I love him and to write down every single quote. Like, this opening scene, just from the time he arrives on the Ghost to the time they leave to start the heist, like, every line of his is gold. And it comes so rapid fire that sometimes you just don't process it and you're just laughing. Like, he has the desperate line, but, like, you know, he's talking with Ezra and he's just like, we're not going to go in there blindly. Oh, sorry, Kanan. I'm so sorry. We have to see this matter through. Oh, I'm so sorry again. Like, he's just so good. I was just resisting the urge to like write down every Hondo line. I have it just in big letters. Ugh, as Morgan. Ugh.
Yeah.
Though I was watching, because they kept showing like group shot, like a big group shot of the entire space family. So like you would have like the camera would be on Hondo and As Morgan, and then it would go to the space family. And I loved those group shots because like Kanan, Sabine, Hera, and Zeb all have this just like what the fuck no face, and the whole time Ezra's just smiling and like thumbs upping like yeah, like this is great, it's gonna be good. But it was just a nice group shot of everyone but Ezra just being like, ugh. In big letters, I write, Zeb gets a moment to shine in this episode. And I think that's part because I've been so critical about, like, Zeb not having episodes and later on. But, like, this was an episode I've only seen once, so I actually forgot about this being kind of a Zeb episode. I mean, it's not, like, a big character Zeb episode. But Zeb gets a lot of time to shine in this one, so it's just like... Yay, Zeb!
Yeah.
And while I don't like the character of As Morgan, I love James Hong and his performance of As Morgan, and just like how he vocalizes the character and how he acts. And I just
He reminds me of Wally Shawn in The Princess Bride. His character, the Weasley guy in Inconceivable.
Yeah. But it's just like how James Hong like delivers certain lines, which is so good. Like when As Morgan sees Hera, he goes, "Ah, the feisty one. She hits me with a tray." Yep. She hits me with a tray. And it's just fun. Well, I'm not a fan of, and As Morgan's supposed to be gross. Like, you're not supposed
yeah.
to like
no, him. He's, yeah. Everything about him is gross inside and out. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I like that. It's kind of like how I feel about Tarkin. Like, Tarkin's a monster, but I like him because he's a monster.
Well, he also makes Hondo look more respectable, and it's good to have for Hondo to have the people that he's working with make him look more respectable than them.
Yeah. So you're supposed to not like this character, but I like that I don't like him. Does that make sense? Which means
yeah,
they're
no. As Morgan reminds me of a lot of the antique dealers that I used to deal with my. That I used to deal with, that I used to meet when I'd go with my dad antiquing. Ah, let's go get the treasures. You know, they would steal all those treasures if they could. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a note that says, "I forgot that AP5 existed again."
That's sort of his character arc from after they introduce him. I was like, yeah. Oh, he's going to be an ongoing character. And then he just pops up every once in a while. You go, oh, yeah, he exists.
And that's the thing, I'm going to talk about AP5 a second. Like, back in that episode, they introduce him as Chopper's friend, and then, he's in the following episode with Chopper, The Mystery of Chopper Base, and then, of course, he's not in Twilight or The Apprentice, because that's the big Jedi episode, but, I don't understand why he hasn't been with the Ghost Crew more. Like, even if it's just being in the background, on the Ghost, he doesn't have to talk, but he's just... He's a character there out of convenience. He's only there when they, need him to do a technical thing, and then he goes away. Yeah. But that's not how he's set up.
I said last time, I think they set up a lot of stuff just in case they want to use it, and then they end up not using it, because they choose to use something else. But when they start out, they set up a lot of stuff, so you have a lot of threads that you can follow in whatever direction is either working out best or you like best or whatever, so... You know, and the thing about him is, if a lot of people like him and are like, whatever happened to AP5, and if in some other, they could introduce him in stuff that takes place 50 years after this, or they could have him in stuff when he was in with the Empire and things like that. So they could always use the character again. He exists, and he's a droid, so he can exist forever. So you can put him almost anywhere, anytime. So, yeah.
I still stand by where is Professor.
I don't think they will.
I still stand by where is Professor Huang from Clone Wars, because Professor Huang was David Tennant's character, and he's met every Jedi that has ever lived, and well, not has ever lived, but for 1,000 years, and he knew Yoda as a Padawan. Where's this character? Why is Luke?
You should be bumping. If there's one character you should bump into all the time, it should be him. Yeah.
Yeah, why has Luke not found him out? That's a resource. Or where's the story of Vader hunting him out, because Vader would know this. To destroy him. There's a story I need right there. Charles Soule, put that in the new Vader comic. Anyway. I'm gonna come back to this note because my last note is about Hera not being wrong about Ezra and Hondo, but I wrote that in Act 1 before watching Act 2 and 3, so I'm gonna come back to that. So, but that's all I have for Act 1.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I can see why you'd wanna hit that one a little later too, yeah.
Yeah, because it's pretty much of
yeah, no, there's a certain point in the show where that one really kind of shows up with Ezra.
Yeah, so
I think
anyway, Act 2.
Act 2.
Get your chips ready, Chris. Here we go. We don't have to wait long to find out what's lurking in the darkness. An Ugnaught named Melch runs out and just starts slapping the shit out of Hondo, going, "You bitch! You left me behind! Dear Lord, keep my piggy pimp pants strong, because I'm going to slap you, Hondo Onaka." And Zeph is not here for any of this shit. And he's just like, "Hondo, what is happening?" And it turns out that this is not the first time they tried this. Hondo and Naz Morgan already tried once to get on this ship. And they're the reason that it's stuck in the storm. And Hondo left his crew behind, which when everything went bad, including poor Melch here, that is using his piggy pimp hand to smack up Hondo. With a quick renegotiation, though, Melch is more than happy to be back on their team once more. Ezra keeps trying to defend Hondo, and he keeps trying to make himself look good, but Zeb is just not hearing any of this anymore. He's just like, no, we have a fucking job to do, this is bullshit. They reach the cargo hold, but Zeb can't get the door open. Against orders, Ezra cuts a person-sized hole into the door with his lightsaber, just as Chopper is getting the power back on and the door opens on its own. This comes up later. Anyway, everyone is super excited about the treasure and the proton bombs, and then Ezra says the fateful words, "What else could go wrong?" And somewhere on the ship, we see a robot arm move. Damn it, Ezra, you just had to say something. Hondo and Naz Morgan are squabbling over treasure, and Zeb is like the manager of a retail store dealing with a bunch of teenagers. Zeb just wants to do his job and go home, but all these other like little teeny bobbers are being fucking shits. And they open the hangar doors to the storm as the ghost pulls in close. It's too windy to land, so they have to use magnetic... Oh no! What was the reason they couldn't... There was a reason they couldn't land, I forgot. But it's too windy and they have to use magnetic cables to attach the two ships together. And they start sending out loads of proton bombs. Zeb gives a command for Ezra to send out the next set of bombs, but Ezra is helping Hondo attach treasure. And Hondo is like, oh, and then Zeb is like, stop attaching treasure, you guys. Like, we have to do the bombs first. And Hondo is like, excuse you, this is my treasure? And Zeb is like, well, this is my mission, so bombs first before I throw you off the fucking hangar. And Ezra is like, why can't we all just get along and be friends? And then they realize that they're missing a supposed friend, because Naz Morgan is not there and he's been gone a while. So Zeb goes to find Naz Morgan, leaving Ezra in charge of continuing to load the cargo. And Zeb starts wandering the hallways looking for Naz Morgan when suddenly, a droid comes up behind him, and we hear Zeb scream, oh no, Zeb! What'd you think about two?
I really didn't have any notes for this one. Although I did think of a new name for the toilet planet. The Can. The Can. T-H-E-C-A-N. The Can. Have to go to the Can. The Can.
Well, there is, it could be like T apostrophe C-A-N-N. The Can.
Yeah, it could be like T and then the words thick an or something like that. Again. Anyway, but I mean I don't have any notes, but I like this section. I liked Mr. Balsack in this. I love the sheer joy that happens when like Hondo's a little, you know, plays a little more cool, but he still loves being a pirate, so he's like, ah, the treasure. But when this guy's like rubbing his hands together and jumping up and down when he sees empty ship full with a full cargo bay, he's just like, oh, my treasure. And that's really nice. But and the interplay between he and Hondo is really just like the most fun part of this section. I guess this is sort of where you start realizing that they're right to not put Ezra in charge, and Ezra's starting to realize that, like, yeah, he's had much more of an elevated opinion of Hondo than Hondo, you know, really is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just seeing it over and over in this one, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty much like my big note of this section. And I started thinking about it, and because I'm going to switch these two notes right fast, I almost wish this episode came before last week's episode, because it's almost like a backward slide for Ezra, because I shouldn't say a backward slide, but he was last week, Ezra was paired with a bunch of teenagers who were inexperienced. So Ezra looked really mature.
He looked more mature in the other one. And yeah, he was playing more mature because he was playing to the other kids, too.
Yeah. But then you get to this one, and it's not a backstep because this is Ezra, and I'll come back to that in a second. But it just feels like it is because last week we saw him looking so mature, even though, you know, he was still snarky and being Ezra. But he just came off that way. So I feel like...
Yeah, he's also hanging out with Hondo, who brings out the more immature aspect of him, too.
Yeah, and so... I feel like if these two episodes, like last week's Iron Squadron episode, I should actually say the title so people know what I'm referring to. If Iron Squadron and this episode were actually switched, it would actually be a very nice play of like Ezra being kind of immature and like mouthing off at Zeb and like realizing he's wrong to go into Iron Squadron going, you know, it's important to work with a team. Because he wasn't working with the team in this one. He was not working with Zeb. He was not willing to work with Zeb until things went to shit. And then you could take that into Iron Squadron with that lesson and go, it's important for Ezra saying that it's working with the team. So I just feel like those two episodes would have been better if they were swapped. Because then it would have that like story progression of Ezra. Instead of having like Ezra look mature and then you get to this one, he feels immature. But like... to go back to what I was saying, like, this is not unusual Ezra. Because this is normal. Like, when it's not Kanan and Hera, Ezra bitches if he is not in charge of a mission. We saw that with Sabine, like, with the Antilles extraction, when Sabine had to go get Wedge. Ezra was upset because he was like, I should be the one going to the Sky Academy. Why am I not going? And, like, Ezra.
Ezra's having an adventure this time with all his, like, they're not like, father figures to him like Kanan. They're more like, you know, Hondo's more like uncle who lets you get away with everything, and Zeb is big brother, you know. Mm-hmm. And both of those have neither of those have an aspect of bringing out the maturity in you, you know.
Yeah.
So he's dealing with, you know. So he doesn't have like, you know, Hera or even Sabine there, also Hera, Sabine, or Kanan there would have made him maybe have to, you know, perk up a little bit and act a little older. But, you know, with this crew, he's just, you know, it's just a bunch of bickering teenager, you know, pubos, sort of, in a way, emotionally.
Yeah.
He's the only one that, like, is really, like, the most, well... Of the three of them, he's the one who's the most emotionally his age, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the right word. Control is not the right word, but I'm not sure the word I'm looking for at the moment on the tip of my tongue. But Ezra doesn't like not being in control. And, like, it's one thing because he's expected to listen to Kanan and Hera because they are space mom and space dad. Oh, sorry, I had a burp. But we've seen him before, like, not... appreciate when Sabine's in charge. He likes being in charge, and here he believes that this is his mission. He sets it up, and so it's kind of like control is not the word I'm looking for, but he doesn't like being not in the lead when it's his. And I can't think of the word. You get what I'm saying though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the word I'm looking for? Control is too negative, and it's not what I mean. But yeah, but, and also, like, he's used to leave, like, he's led a lot of missions this season. Like, he's earned the right to lead missions, except for in the season opener where he's been, actually, in the season opener, he got demoted. He was leading missions, and he got demoted, and he hasn't been promoted again since, so he should be falling in rank now that I think about it. He should be falling in rank under Zeb, because he got demoted, so he has no and he knows that. Like, so, Ezra's just being a little bitch.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a teenager wouldn't care whether they've been demoted or not. They would still try to be in charge.
You know, though, that makes it make sense, though, while he's a little bit defensive of it. Because he got demoted, he might have been like, I need to find this mission. I want to do the thing to help the rebellion. Right. I want to get back my promotion. Right. And so that would make sense of, like,
He had a plan in his head, and it didn't evolve that way.
Yeah, so it does kind of make sense. So maybe
nothing pisses off teenagers more than that. Teenagers figure out whole plans to do all sorts of things and then get them scuttled all the time. It's the worst.
Yeah, so. All right.
Mom, I could just jump on a train and go to the next town over to see that concert. Why are you being so stupid?
Yeah.
We've all been there.
We'll say that Ezra's half bitch in this. He's a half bitch. Really, my other two notes is I love how fun this episode is. I've said it already. This is just so much fun. I'm having a good time. And I'm just so proud of Zeb. Zeb's being such a good leader. And I love how no-nonsense Zeb is. Like, the moment he realizes that, like, Hondo is setting them up, he's just like, oh, we're not doing this anymore. Yeah. We're doing our jobs. I'm not putting up with your bullshit anymore. And especially the point where it's like, he's like, get that treasure off the line. Bombs first. Like,
He just does it as a matter of fact. This is the way it's going, and it's not going any differently. And he's huge, too. So, yeah, he just asserts that right out. He's just like, nope, that ain't going to be how it plays out.
I love the Wookiee line where he's like, I'll rip your arms off later. And Hondo's like, ha ha, you're so funny. And then he looks at Ezra. He's like, can he do that? Can he rip my arms out? Should I be scared?
Pretty but, sure like, it
I could. Just, it makes me wonder if this is how, because we know that he used to be captain of the honor guard and stuff. I'm wondering if this is just like the tiniest look of how Zeb might have been when he was captain of the honor guard on Lirasan, whatever the Lasat planet. I wonder if this is what he was like back then, and this is just like where that experience is coming from. Him having to put up with little asshole Lasats. Maybe that's how his life was like, and so he's used to it. So, Zeb lost his people. That's okay. He gets a callus. Oh, my God. I really need an episode of him, like, giving, like, military commands to Callus, and Callus just being like, oh, this is my military kink. Yes, yes, higher officer, tell me to take my uniform off. Tell me to iron my uniform.
Oh, Jesus. Act 3?
And Zeb is like, here's a lint roller. Oh, get my fur off your uniform.
All right, Act 3, I'm ready. Yep, I'm ready.
I know that's somewhere out there on fanfiction. It's already been written. Anyway, Act 3.
Act 3. I am ready for Act 3.
I'm going to see if I can find that. Act 3! Well, Chopper has done everything he can to keep the cargo ship stabilized, but it can't hold it anymore. And the ship starts going down faster, and Hera gives the command for them all to get off the ship. Ezra asks Hondo for his help, because now Asmorgan and Zeb are both missing. And surprise, surprise, Hondo doesn't want to help at all. So Ezra, who's now all sad, like, I thought our friendship was magic, Hondo. I thought we had the magic of friendship. And Hondo's like, I'm not a fucking My Little Pony. This is my treasure, bitch. And so sad Ezra goes off to look for the others on his own. If Hope wrote this episode, sorry, this is not in this, Ezra would have gone off like this. Hondo, I thought you were my friend.
God, Hondo.
I'm not crying. You're crying. We're all crying here.
Not cool, dude.
Anyway, where am I? Ezra goes off to find the others. Zeb wakes up. Sorry. When we don't have a lot of notes, we have to improvise. Zeb wakes up to find himself in Asmorgan in the brig. They call the others, and AP5 is like, oh, did I forget to mention the sentry droids? Yeah, you probably don't want to mess with them. They're really gonna fuck you up. And Zeb is like, no shit, you wanker! But they're not captured for too long, because Ezra meets up with Chopper, and then they spring the other two out of jail, and they all start making their way back to the cargo hold. But they run into the sentry droid, and Zeb gives the command to let the droid pass. And as the droid grows closer and walks closer to them, Asmorgan snaps and yells, I can't take the anxiety! Good luck, everyone! And he grabs Ezra's blaster, and in a panic frenzy, Asmorgan takes out the droid in a wave of blaster fire. And then AP5 is like, oh no, I said don't fuck with the robot.
Why does he sound like a battle droid?
Oh, no.
He's
got
my
that
head,
deep, rich voice, man.
In my head, that's...
Okay.
I'm trying to think.
Just checking.
Okay. I was just
not
trying
criticizing,
a new thing.
Just checking.
I was holding my nose and trying a new voice, but if that doesn't work, I can try something else. So.
Roger.
Okay. Thing did not work. Noted. So, AP5 is like... Oh. I can't bring my voice
That
out.
Was better. It was getting better there. Yeah.
Oh, no. I said don't fuck with the robot. And
it's
you
pretty good,
did.
Actually.
Now they'll all be coming after you now. Is that better? Okay.
That is better, yes.
Okay.
That's pretty good. It's actually pretty good.
I was thinking like whiny in my head, so I was like, oh, I'll hold my nose to make like a whiny sound. But like now that you pointed out battle droids, I can hear how that sounded battle droidy. Anyway, so now all the sentry droids are activated, and it's a mad sprint back to the hangar. And Ezra goes to seal the door, but... he cut a person-sized hole in the door back in Act 2. And Zeb is like, this is why you should always listen to me, child. And they have no choice but to ride the winch lines across to the ghost. And Hondo and Ez Morgan hop on first, and they make it back to the ghost first. And Zeb hops on one, and Ezra leaps after him. Then Chopper flies off like, bye, bitches, you're on your own. And as Zeb and Ezra are heading across the line, the sentry droid catch on, and they shoot out the line. And the boys plummet toward out of the sky! But one end is still attached to the ghost. And Zeb is able to snag Ezra with his foot and grab the line with his arm. Because Zeb is the best! Ezra hops onto Zeb's back and deflects the blaster bolts with his lightsaber while Zeb climbs up. The Imperial cargo ship is going down really fast, and it starts exploding, and the ghost is getting pulled down with it, and Space Mom Hera is like, get your asses in the minivan right now! Did you understand that? Did that make sense?
No, that was pretty good.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
And Kanan hurries down there and pulls... I just want to make sure you can understand the words I said. Kanan hurries down there and pulls Zeb and Ezra inside. He slashes the line, still connected to the cargo ship, and they speed away as the Imperial ship goes down in flames. Back on the ghost, once they're all safe, Hondo and Ez Morgan are fighting over the only box of treasure they got. When they pop it open, Melch, the Eggnog, is inside the box! Because he did not trust Hondo to get him off since before, you know, Hondo left him to die. And then they start fighting over Melch about who's going to get Melch and stuff like that. And Hera ends it with going, get the fuck off my ship. The end.
The end. This is where most of my notes are.
Yay!
Mr. Potato Balls? Arms?
I'm assuming you mean Ez Morgan.
Yes. He's a Mr. Potato Head made out of balls, though, out of ball sacks.
Ow! I just imagine like jamming things in those scrotums. Ow!
Yeah, that's why he's so sensitive. But his even more. he's rather touchy.
I'm sorry. Go on.
Anyway, even with his whole body, his face, and his chin looking like ball sacks, his freaky arms are, I think, the creepiest part of him.
They're so tiny.
Well, they're tiny, but from the shoulder down, they're sort of short like dinosaur arms, but then they've got these scrawny little forearms that are long that go out in front of, and he's always holding him out in front of him, and it's just the creepiest looking. It just makes him look even more creepy. It's a nice character design. And yeah. I noticed the last couple of episodes, they've just basically had Hera and Kanan. They've let all the other characters get a little play because Hera and Kanan just sort of hang out on the ship the whole time. And are just sort of there, you know, to drop people off and pick them up at the beginning and the end of the story.
Oh, what is it?
Yell at them a little bit. But
I'm looking. Okay. Somebody was talking about. I'm sorry. I'm looking for a piece of feedback that we got from a listener of the show, and I'm trying to find it. Now I can't seem to find it. It was Spectre. I forgot your name, your number. One of our listeners walked in, and the name is Spectre, and then there's a number. I think it's like Spectre 6 or something. Why is this not coming up? We were talking about this earlier today. I was talking about this episode, and they were like, yeah, the moment you pointed out that he's a scrotum sack, I was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's all over. It can't be denied. He's a he wiggles like anyway.
Yeah, so thanks for that great feedback, guys. That's the kind of feedback we like.
My only other note is okay, at the very end when Zeb and Ezra are coming back, you know, they're coming up on the final load when they have to leave and they get their cord cut and they're dangling and the other cord is attaching them to the ship. Why do they have to wait till they're on the ship before they cut that cord? Made no sense to me because it's all that shit. It's like, okay, maybe it's stabilizing their ship, and it's like, no, it's actually going to be dragging their ship down. So it's like there was no reason for them not to just cut the cord and reel up. It just made it extra dramatic, but the physics of that little set piece did not make any sense. But I just went with it, you know, because
it looks cool.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, and at that point in it, yeah.
Yeah, my answer is it adds drama. If I wanted to add a scientific answer, maybe they were at a right altitude where they could breathe, and if they went any higher, they couldn't. I don't know. They were saying something about how, like, in Act 1, how, like, the Imperial cargo ship was, like, in the perfect position, but it was going down. So maybe they could only be in this very specific position.
Yeah, but they don't need to be attached to the ship to be in that position. It wasn't stabilizing them. It was yanking them down in the atmosphere. So, you know, at that point, the ship was, like, below them and sinking. So it's just, like, cut it the second it's doing that and just hover your ship and haul them in. But, whatever. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm just going to mention it in my notes, but I don't care.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The answer is, maybe Sabine didn't have what she needed to cut the ship because Kanan had to cut it with his lightsaber. She might not have been able to cut the cord.
Oh, maybe. That might be it, yeah.
So. But then how would they get the magnet things off their ship later? Like, are they just going to forever have magnet things stuck to the back of their ship?
Guess they're just going to make sure they have someone with a lightsaber around all times.
Yeah, so I don't know. Drama, and it looked cool.
Yeah. In the context of a show like this, it does not, you know, an episode like this, it does not matter. That's all I got.
So as for my notes, I love, it's right at the beginning of the act, where Zeb just got captured. And before you go to like them looking for Zeb, there's a scene of the Imperial cargo ship when it finally, like after Chopper's like, oh no, I don't have the stabilizers anymore. And you see the cargo ship start going into the clouds, and the clouds start ripping away at the bottom of the cargo ship. It's just a really cool shot because you're like, oh, look at the clouds. And I was like, I was expecting like a Resistance really pretty shot, and it just starts ripping the bottom of the cargo ship off. And I was like, what's in these clouds? But it's just, it's a really, really nice shot. And it made me stop and just go, that's cool. So, I'm going to come back to that note. I like Az Morgan's Rambo moment where he just runs out shooting the sentry droid. And at the end, he's just like, I'm a hero because you're not. But
it's just and it's total like coward, just like freaking out.
It actually also kind of reminds me of his last episode where Chopper had the two blasters and was chasing him down the hallway with the two blasters doing the exact same thing. So it was a nice callback to that. I love the whole fight from them fighting in the hangar to like them leaving, because there's so many just like nice little things. Like there's a point where Ezra turns on like one of the anti-gravity on one of the boxes, and he kicks the box, and so the box is just moving on its own, and he's just crouched behind it to move with it.
Using
like,
that's it for such cover,
a,
yeah.
Yeah, that's such a cool little detail. Like, that's a nice detail. And then I love the whole thing of like, Ezra and Zeb are falling, and like, Zeb catches him, and he pulls them up, and then like, Ezra is piggybacking on him, like deflecting as like Zeb is climbing up. Like, I like this in fight scene. It's a really nice fight, and it's really cool, and just little things clear. They use their environment really well, because they didn't have to use like a box to move to cover. They didn't have to like have this whole thing of them dangling. Like, they use their environment really well for this fight scene. It's very well choreographed, and I really enjoyed it. Is Asmorgan into human trafficking because he still thinks he owns Hera and he wants 50% of Melch?
Oh, he definitely is. He's into Asmorgan will do anybody and anything dirty he can that pleases him. He has no moral compass, you know. He's like a fat Roman emperor or something, you know. Except he's not with that power. If he had that power, he would be like the most tyrannical, debauched king of a planet or whatever. But yeah, he just wants to take the whole world and put it in his big ball sack mouth and eat it all up, you know. That's all he cares about. So yeah, human trap, he would do whatever, you know. And yeah,
you remember how last week I said that I got back into cats?
Yeah.
As Morgan will do as he do, and there's no doing anything about it.
We're going to call him Ball Ball Tugger.
Oh no, Tugger. Don't do that to Rum Tum Tugger.
He's the Ball Ball Tugger.
Wait, I'm surprised you knew that I was singing the Rum Tum Tugger song.
I didn't. That's just the only character name that I know from the
That's
cats.
The Rum Tum Tugger song, Chris. Do you have a secret cats like passion? Do you secretly love cats?
No, if I had a cat's passion, I would be I like cat in theory, I'm a cat. You know me, I love cats. Cats is in the species. But I don't like musicals for the most part, and it's really? Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that you were not a fan of musicals in general. Like, in general, like, you're not just a fan of them, like the medium?
Certain styles of them. I do not like Andrew Lloyd Webber's style.
I remember us.
I don't like that style of like musicals like say like Fiddler on the Roof or something. I'm trying to think of all the musicals that I saw when I was a kid, but I enjoyed all the music like actual stage plays that like our local theater would do, and like Jesus Christ Superstar. I like Jesus Christ Superstar is Andrew Lloyd Webber too, but it's just on the edge, you know. Jesus Christ Superstar has some rock and roll moments to it. And it's got some, it's really intense, but for the most part, not a big fan of that, the Andrew Lloyd Webber style. I don't like the way that the Broadway style of, say, Wicked, I read the book Wicked and really enjoyed it, and then tried to watch a bootleg of the play, and I got, like, angry in the first 10 or 15 minutes and just said, I have to stop watching this. This is making me mad.
Because I knew that about Andrew. I knew that about you and Andrew Webber, but I did not know that you knew about that about musicals. So, we learned something about Chris today, guys.
Yeah.
Well, now I feel extra emboldened every time I sing Hamilton when I talk about Callus. Now I have to do it even more.
I'm trying to think of something, but Andrew Lloyd Webber ripped off one of my songs too. I can't remember what it was.
I remember having this conversation. I can't remember if we had it on the show or afterwards, but I remember having this conversation with you. Anyway, so moving on. As I said before, this is kind of like Fight or Flight Part 2. And one of the things I said before, like, I liked Fight or Flight because it's just good old fashioned fun. But it's also, like, a nice part, like, if you compare Fight or Flight to this episode, like, it's you can see the growth of Ezra and Zeb. Because Zeb was still kind of, like, you know, the big brother guy and stuff like that. But he's like, no, we're fighting in a war. We have a job to do. This isn't just a melee run or a supply run. And Ezra's matured too, even though he kind of steps back a little bit, but he's in a different place as well. So it's kind of nice to compare this episode of Fight or Flight, because you can also see like the progression of both Ezra and Zeb since season one in big old letters.
Yeah, now it's instead of as much like playing on like big developments in their character, it's playing on the character that's developing or the dynamic that's developing between the two of them, you know?
Yeah.
So it's nice. It's now that we know the characters well, it's fun to see their characters interacting with each other.
Yeah, because like Fight or Flight was Ezra and Zeb getting to know each other as people. This is Ezra and Zeb who already know each other, working in a situation where they're playing ranks. But they're also in a war, so like they're pulling ranks on each other. And it's a different situation, but it's also like they know each other. So Zeb has no problem being like, shut up, kid, take this up with Hera. We have a job to do. And
it's also nice. It reminds me a little bit of the dynamic between Obi-Wan and Anakin sometimes in Clone Wars, you know, when they would be just sort of competing with each other.
Yeah, I would almost say Obi-Wan and Ahsoka. Because Anakin, or I'm sorry, not Obi-Wan and Ahsoka, Anakin and Ahsoka.
Yeah. That's, I would agree with you on that. Yeah.
Obi-Wan had that age difference, but, Ahsoka and Anakin were still closer in age. I think they're only like, what, Anakin's 19 in Attack of the Clones. So he's like 21 during the Clone Wars, and Ahsoka is like, what, 14. So they're much closer in age. They're only what, like 5-6 years apart. So, yeah, I mean, it does very much remind me of that. And it's still kind of like a slightly different power structure because, like, Anakin is her master. But they're also close enough to where they're an age where they can have that competitiveness of it. So, okay, so I want to go to, like, my only really big criticism of this episode. We've already addressed the Hondo-Ezra relationship before. We've actually addressed it twice now. Ezra knows from the previously two, and like, you know, Hondo has popped up here and there, but he's had two big adventures with Hondo now. And both times, Hondo fucks him over. And so, like, this third time, like, Ezra is like, and I understand that Ezra is a sympathetic character, and he wants to give people chances, and he wants to see the best in people. But at the same time, like, in the Lasat episode, where they, like, the Legend of the Lasat, where Hondo helps them, Ezra knows to keep Hondo at a distance and to not fully trust him. He even has a line of like, oh, you're not going to get your full payment because you didn't do this. And Hondo's like, oh my God, you didn't trust me. I'm so proud of you. And then we get to this episode and he's just like, oh no, Hondo betrayed me. And I'm like, well, yeah, you've had multiple encounters with Hondo. Why is this a surprise now when you've already been, this has already been established? So like, that's my only like one big criticism of this episode is it'd be one thing if this was first and this was the first time Hondo has done this. It's not. It's the third time Hondo has done this. And I think the difference is the friendship element. Like, that's what's different. Because as Morgan's there and Ezra's under the impression, wow, I just had deja vu. Ezra's under the impression that Hondo and As Morgan are friends, and so he's expecting the friendship element. He doesn't understand that they're not friends. And that's Prince, but even then, that's not enough for me to be like, why have you not learned this episode after three times? Or this lesson, you know?
I think he sort of learned the lesson, but at the same time, he just is holding out hope that Hondo, like, and the thing about Hondo is he is likable, and to a degree, he's very vaguely, yes, Hondo is sort of a good guy, you know? They never completely, like, you know, you're never going to see Hondo like joining the rebellion and giving up, you know, like being a Han Solo or something, but they make his character to sort of be, you know, always have the potentiality. So it gives him a good dynamic. Cause then as we watch him, like Ezra, we know that he's full of shit and we know that it'll screw him over. But at the same time, we think, yeah, he might screw him over, but if he thinks they're going to die or, like, get captured or something, he'll probably come back and get them, you know? There's still some spot in him that's good, and I think Ezra is just
holding out on that. In this episode, he was starting to go like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe not, you know? And, you know, the, I mean, he had that line where, you know, he was just, where he basically said he kept being disappointed, you know, or Hondo said, like, I'm disappointed. And he said something like, yeah, I know how you feel, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he just, that's Ezra's character. And to the writer's benefit, they've really turned that from being something that frustrated me about Ezra in the beginning of like, this guy's just like a little too naive to a point, you know, and then, but as time has gone on, they've turned it into a strength of his, and without making it just like, hey, Ezra's intuition is always right, but it's like, his intuition is going in the right way. It's just not laser focused. So it makes for a good friction with the characters. It's sort of like Lando. I wish they would have used Lando. Lando has very much the same dynamic. Lando's always looking out for himself. He's a little, you know, he's a little more on the good side than Hondo. And, you know, there's only a few letters off, I guess, in their names now that I think about it. But, you know, you never know what is, you know, you're never going to know what their motivations are 100% of the time, which makes them very fun to work with.
Mm-hmm. Total side note. I finally found it. The person who was writing me earlier about agreeing with the boss base is at GhostSpectre8 on Twitter. So thank you. Oh, I wanted to make sure I got the right name. So. My only other note is, in big letters, Zeb saves the day because he's the fucking best and Zeb deserves more love. That's my last note. So, but that's all I have for this episode. Did you have anything else?
No, I'm ready to score it up.
All right, score it up for me, Chris.
I probably would have given this a 7, but... It maybe even lower if Hondo wasn't involved, but with the inclusion of Hondo, this gets a 7.5. It's just a good solid episode. It's fun visually. It doesn't have any. It has nice little visual things, but the stuff that was appealing more that drove this episode wasn't as much the visual stuff as it was just the character interactions and. So some of the kinetic stuff, which wasn't like as much visually impressive, but like when you were talking about when Ezra kicked that box, you know, and it's an action sequence, but it's not like a, you know, a big chase or something like that. It's just sort of a gunfight, but you're seeing how they've learned things and how they work together in a situation and react to it without really, you know, thinking about it or talking about it. And the visual representation of that was fun to watch. It wasn't like a super well shot action sequence or a real cool space vista or something, but it made it very entertaining.
I have kind of the opposite effect, because I'd only really seen this episode once and I wasn't a fan of it at the beginning. So watching it the second time, like, I ended up really enjoying it because I think it's because I had really low expectations going into it. And so I had the pleasantly surprised of like, oh, this is fun. I like it. Ah, oh, this is great. I loved the well-choreographed action sequences. I thought they used their environment wonderful. Hondo is always amazing. I always love Hondo. And this is just a nice, like, fun breather episode. And I know most people don't like Az Morgan. I don't really like him either. But I like James Hong, portraying him. I think he does a really good job. And I like watching Az Morgan bounce off of Hondo because they're very similar, but different characters. And
I don't like him as a person, but as a character in the show, I'm more than happy to have him keep showing up, even though he's, you know, I think he's fun as a Weasley wormy character.
He's like Mama Hutt, but mobile.
Yeah, well, Mama Hutt was, he's even, I think, like, Mama Hutt was more of, like, a businesswoman. This guy, well, this guy's a businessman, too, but he's just, like, this guy's a pure, wimpy, weaselly, you know, looking out for himself guy. And, like, they don't have a lot of characters like that in these Star Wars cartoons. So he's fun to have around.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wish Ezra. I don't know. I have issues with Ezra in this one, but really, at the end of the day, Zeb is wonderful. Zeb is really good in this episode. He really is like the backbone of the mission. He's so good, and I love Zeb, and I'm always happy to have Zeb-centric episodes and stuff. So because of I think I scored it higher because of the surprise factor, because I just really enjoyed it this time. I gave it an 8 out of 10. I really enjoyed watching it. I had a really fun time watching this episode.
Yeah, well, we both at last two episodes, we've still been within 0.5 of each other, so.
Yeah. So, well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, we're still I'm catching up with feedback because we took breaks during commentary, so we're actually still like 2 months behind on feedback. So this week, we're going to be doing Holocrons of Fake. Holocrons are fake.
Holocrons are fake and they're full of bullshit. I'm sorry. I said it.
Holocrons of Fate.
It's so phony.
And the Antilles extraction. So I have these broken by, I have the green signifying the episodes, and then I have it broken down by Facebook and Twitter. So
God, Holocron, leave me alone.
Also, we have an addition to the Happy and Hearts face counter for Thrawn and
Excellent. Three. The count is going up. Good.
Yep.
Week by week, our pile of hearts grows taller. All right.
Take it away, Chris.
All right. From Facebook, from Brian Weber. He says,
and on the discussion. And this is the Holocrons are fake episode.
This is the Holocrons of Fate. Stupid Holocrons. Brian Weber says, on the discussion of Yoda's intent on sending the crew to Malachor, I think Yoda was trying to teach Ezra the folly of not considering the price for some victories. How we choose to fight. After all, he told Ezra about the planet, not Kanan or Ahsoka. Now, this is Jedi Master Yoda, so I'm sure he felt the possibility of the other dominoes falling into place to take care of Maul, some Inquisitors, and possibly Vader. But I think his primary goal was teaching Ezra about the dangers of the dark side. Yeah, I think that's usually, like, how it works with Yoda, too, you know? Then he says, I wouldn't even be surprised if Malachor was what cemented Yoda's view on Vader's inability to be saved from the dark side. If his Padawan that Vader practically raised couldn't reach him, then how could Luke, who Vader only mentally knows as his son, save him? By the way, I love Hope's Bendu voice for the Bendu.
Thanks, man. I can't wait for, like, Bendu to come back, man.
More Bendu coming up. I'm so psyched.
I know.
We're getting some angry Bendus coming up, too. I like it angry. All right, we got another one from Facebook from Rafaela. Says
this
another.
Is
this Twitter?
Look, it says above it, Twitter.
Okay. Oh, you're right. Okay, this one is from Twitter. And it's from Rafaela, and she says, another great episode. I love how Rebels was the first to introduce the whole force flying space things, and most people forgot about when TLJ came out. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah. And And like, even the way he, like, you could tell that they probably, like, were like, when they were making the movie, they said, hey, did this ever happen in any of the cartoons? And if so, we better check to see what it looked like, because it was very similar.
Yeah. So pretty much the only difference is, like, with animation, they could, like, make Kanan a plank. And they did not do that to Carrie Fisher. She probably was standing, so.
Right.
So. Though Carrie Fisher planking is an image in my head.
It was kind of like a plank and a little bit of a dab going, too.
Yeah.
All right, this next one, these next few are from the Antilles extraction. Where Wedge Antilles gets a bad tooth taken out.
And we specifically had asked people, because, like, we are not Wedge and Hobby fans. We're not invested in them. So we had specifically asked, like, hey, if you're a Wedge and Hobby fan, like, please let us know how you thought about this episode, because we are not the people for this podcast. So take it away.
Okay, these first three are from Facebook. And the first one is from... Paul C. Kelly.
Ooh, yeah.
So he says, so Wedge and Rebels did not connect so well to the original trilogy Wedge for me at first, because he looked too young. He looked like my fucking asshole ex-roommate. First time I saw this, I did not want to except that Wedge would have ever been in the Empire. But then I thought of Wedge in A New Hope, who is unsure of himself and the mission to the point where the farm boy tells him to get out of the trench. He is no good back there, he says sorry, and leaves the mission. By Empire, 3 years have passed, and he is much more confident. Oh, yeah. Looks like Rebels was half accurate, making Wedge a little unsure of himself, but just looked way too young. I agree he was not very interesting either. Oh, no. In Empire, he's still a bit quirky, though. Woo, that got him. Yeah, you don't have a lot to work on with Wedge. That's the thing.
There's
not a lot of Wedge stuff in the movies to work with, even with, especially with the Rise of Skywalker. It's just like, there he is. He's got just long enough to register that he's got gray hair. That's fine.
Where was Nora?
All right. And the next one is from Gene Hendricks. Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene's comment.
Now, whenever I see Wedge and Hobby, I see Calvin and Hobbes in my head.
I know, me too.
All right. Wedge and Hobby in this episode. Oh, wait. I got to do my Gene voice. Jesus. Wedge and Hobby in this episode and the series felt like stunt casting.
Yes, Lando- it did.
Lando and Leia were used really well and gave more depth to their characters. Wedge, Hobby, and the droids were more of, hey, you remember these guys, right? Isn't it cool that they're here? Personally, I prefer Wedge and Hobby in the Rogue Squadron novels and comics. They have a good amount of character growth there and are just better used overall. All right, and then the last one from Facebook comes from Aaron Henley. And he says, agreed, though if you go by the novelization of Empire Strikes Back, Hobby should have died at Hoth, so it's nice to see that didn't happen. I'm currently reading the new Resistance Reborn novel, and Wedge is playing a major role. Also, now I have to read the Aftermath trilogy, since that's where a major character in his life was introduced. And though I'm happy for him, my headcanon wife firm will always be Lella.
Isla? I think it's an I.
Isla. Oh, yeah, okay. I really need to do a reread of the old X-Wing books.
Where was Nora and Tross? Anyway.
Right. All right, this next one's from Twitter, and it is once again Rafaela from Twitter. And she says, Price was so extra in this episode.
Hell yeah, she was, girl! Hell yeah!
I was conflicted because I love Sabine, but I was also cheering for Price. It was even better to watch that fight, having read Thrawn. Yes, she shouldn't be there, but I can't complain. Every opportunity we have to see her is pure joy to me. I only started to really care about Wedge after the Aftermath trilogy, mostly because of his quote-unquote connection to Nora.
Where was Nora and Tross? Sorry. I'll stop.
She's in the R2 cut. Revisiting this arc... to listen to this episode, I couldn't see any of the Wedge I know. To be honest, I think it was that kind of cameo to bring people to watch the show. Yeah, I think that's right. And then Jedi Tales, TALEZ, says, Wedge! And then poop, 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 three hearts. Three more hearts, bing, bing, bing.
And then my buddy Stacy, who's Argengale, wrote in hearts for Arinda and just said, Ari with hearts. So that brings our hearts and happy faces count for Thrawn and Arinda Price up to 3. Stacy, yes. You're leading the charge. You have been 2 out of 3 of those hearts so far. Congrats.
Well, we've just started counting them, and they haven't heard. And like as we're recording this, nobody's heard any. These are just uncalled for hearts. They are spontaneous hearts. They have not been influenced by our request for hearts. But after these episodes drop, now people are just going to be hearting. I'm hoping they're going to be hearting us like crazy. What candy are we eating?
I reached into the bottom of a thing and I pulled out like a blue gray one that says the Lily O'Brien's Dark Chocolate Himalayan Salted Bar.
Lily O'Brien?
Lily O'Brien's. I'm assuming it's from Ireland. Let's see.
Alright, I'm not seeing it yet. Hang on.
Oh, it is from Ireland.
You say it's blue? It's blue, you say?
It's gray and white. This is like an Argyle packaging. I had to dig at the very bottom of my box.
Well, yeah, but that's yours. Oh, oh my God, there it is at the very bottom of my box.
Maybe it was the first thing Dario packed. Well, if you don't know what we're doing...
It looks like a soap that you would get in your hotel room.
Yeah, it was like half soap, half Argyle sock.
Yes. It's a soap and an Argyle sock.
Well, if you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats. And so our friend Dario, who is Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, sends us candy from all over the world to review because Dario is wonderful. And if you send him gift cards, he'll buy turkeys for LGBTQ communities.
It's got a very dark chocolate sweat. And this is the this is the second salted chocolate bar in a row.
Mm. Oh, man. When you hit that piece of salt, like, right on your palate, oh my God.
It's less salty, per se, than the last one, but the chocolate is more bitter.
I think it's more salty.
The other one, they applied an even layer of salt to the whole thing. So it was just like you always got that salt flavor. This is how you do it with this, so this has just salt in it, so you get a grain of salt. And then you get, like, intense salt on the bitter and sweet chocolate, and it's fantastic.
See, I had the opposite. Like, I could smell the salt, but I couldn't taste it in the one that we did last week. But this one, I'm like, yep, there's a great, like, this tastes almost like the big, like, granular, like, coarse
it
salt
is.
That you, yeah.
It is. It's a chunk of sea salt, like a chunk of kosher salt.
Mm-hmm. Kosher salt, that's what I was looking for. Oh my God.
Oh, it's a Himalayan salt, so it's probably that pink. Isn't that the pink salt?
I have no idea, to be honest. Oh my God, Dario, this is so good.
This is so good. This one, I like this one a lot better than last week, yesterday's or last week's chocolate. This one's got the dark, dark, like melt on your tongue chocolate and just like.
Mm.
This is where chocolate gets into that endorphin level of like drugs.
Oh God. I love the touch of salt on it. Oh, my God. Oh, and I forgot to mention it. It is from Ireland. I had guessed with Lily O'Brien's, but I wasn't sure. So, as always, thank you, Dario. We love you so much. Well, that's all I have for the Win Canthu job. Did you have anything else?
No, I'm about done with the Cthulhu job.
All right, well, where can people find you?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That's our website. With all our podcasts, as a matter of fact, that's the best place to go for our podcasts. You can get them on iTunes too, but it's been a little sketchy lately. We're working on it though. We're working on
the website. We're working on it.
Hopefully by the time you listen to this, maybe it won't be in effect, but who knows. But you can go to twotruefreaks.com and see all our podcasts and download them from there. You can go to Facebook to the True True Freaks podcast page. And we post them all up there, too. And we have the Two True Freaks Cantina, which is pretty much exactly like what it sounds. If you're listening to this show, you can pretty much figure what goes on in the Two True Freaks Cantina. Or can you? And we are also on Twitter. And we have a Two True Freaks Twitter page that posts all our shows and news and goings-on. And that's run by the legendary Gene, the podcasting machine.
I'm going to see if I can do this in Gene's voice. Do-do-do, do-do-do, Gene.
Yes, Gene not only runs our Twitter site and listens to every single Two True Freaks podcast. As of last night, we are up to the count of, and it's higher than that, but as of this recording, we are up to 4,667 podcasts.
Whoop-a-doo-ba-doo. Whoever gets the 5,000th podcast episode on our...
I'm gonna be really curious as to who hits number 500.
You need you need to make like a little banner so they can go back and put it like in their episode art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I won't know until it happens, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see who it is.
Maybe it'll be us.
But yeah, that's where they can find me. Where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter accounts. You can also find me at Hope Mullinax on Twitter. I have my own website called geekygirlexperience.com where I write all sorts of reviews and stuff. And I also write fan fiction on Archive of Our Own under the name Chaos Lydia. And I have two ongoing Star Wars fanfics being Forces of Gravity and The Lucky Leku. And as I said last week, I just started a Cats fanfic. It's not going to be as long, though. I'm expecting like 5 to 7 chapters tops. So, Cats fanfic! But yeah, that's where you can find me.
All right.
I'm so excited for next week's episode because it's like Thrawn and Arenda and what's his butt? Callus is there. And oh my God, so excited about next week's episode.
All right.
It's Husbando and evil wife Ari and Callus and all the things. And then my husband murders. He murders next week. Murders.
Come back for Hope's big favorite character murder orgy.
Big horny
character murder orgy episode.
We need to find you a fandom waifu. You need a waifu.
Yeah.
The Mala animated series.
Ooh, get me a life-size Mala pillow. Yeah. Yes.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
And this is your Uncle Don saying good night.
Good night, little kids. Good night.
We're off?
Good. Well, that ought to hold the little bastards.